Our Father and our God, we do give thanks this morning for thy mercy, for thy grace, for this opportunity we have to gather. Holy Father, we now pray that I will bless the declaration of thy word. I commit both the preaching as well as the hearing into thy hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You would all agree with me that it is always good to have options. You know, options tend to give us the flexibility to make choices that often benefits us. You know, when you enter into a restaurant and you are handed a menu, the options of meal that you have to choose from gives you the flexibility to choose a meal that aligns with your diet. When you walk into a shoe store, the options of shoes that you have on the shelf gives you the flexibility to choose the shoe that fits your taste. But it is not everything in life that we have the leverage of an option. There are actually some things that God has stripped us of that leverage. We don't have the option to choose our parents. God does that for us at birth. To stay alive, there is only one option, oxygen. We all need oxygen to stay alive. And not to talk about sleep. You might decide that you want to stay awake indefinitely, but your body will definitely shut down. Our body needs one option to rejuvenate itself. And that is sleep. So you can see that there are actually things that we have options and things that God has stripped us of that option. But this is also true spiritually because we can find this in parallel in our walk of faith. You know, while the Bible exhorts us to not to forsake our gathering together, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we can choose not to come to church on Sunday. Disobedience, but yes, that's an option. While the Bible exhorts us to give, when the basket is passed around, we can actually choose not to put anything in the basket. Option. Disobedience, but yet option. But on the flip side, there are a couple of things that God has actually stripped us of that leverage of an option in our walk of faith. And one of those things is what I call going through the wilderness. You know, the phrase going through the wilderness is a colloquialism for God's school of hard knocks, God's spiritual boot camp. It is the process whereby God, through his permissive will, would allow his children to experience some challenges and difficulties. The wilderness is a barren land. The wilderness is a land of thirst, of hunger, and that is an illustration of how God allows his people to go through difficulties. And throughout the Bible, we can actually find this pattern listed for us. When the children of Israel were liberated from Egyptian captivity, God could have led them through the land of the Philistines. We know that according to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, because it was nearer. Though the children of Israel were not equipped for war, but God could have neutralized the Philistines and allowed his children to pass through to the promised land. But instead, the Lord led them through the wilderness. When our Lord Jesus began his itinerant ministry, after his baptism, he could have just gone straight out to start preaching. But yet, we're told that he surrendered to the Holy Spirit and he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Loved ones, this morning, every one of us, as believers, will go through that wilderness. And that wilderness can come in different forms and different shapes. And every one of us is going to be shaped differently. There is no option for you as a Christian. Now, since this is the unalterable purpose of God for every Christian, I think it's going to be prudent for each one of us to have a firm understanding of why we have to go through a wilderness in our walk of faith, as well as how we need to respond when we go through the wilderness. And these two questions are going to be what I'm going to deal with this morning. So let us begin by looking at our first question. You know, why would God allow us to go through wilderness? Why, in that illustration, why would his permissive will allow us to go through challenges at times and struggles? Well, I think the answer can be found in the pages of Scripture. We can harvest three good reasons why God allows this. The first reason is this. I believe God allows us to go through the wilderness in order to strip us of pride and humble us. Again, you want to write that down, loved ones. I believe God allows us to go through the wilderness in order to strip us of our pride and humble us. One of the cornerstones of our sin nature is pride. Each one of us, to different degrees, struggle with pride. As the saying goes, pride is every man's struggle. And since God is completely opposed to pride, for you and I to be useful to God in any level, he has to strip us of our pride. Then how does God do that? God does not do it magically that you wake up in the morning and the pride is off you and you're humble. Rather, God allows us to go through experiences. God allows us to go through challenges that will not only reveal the weakness of our self-reliance, but will begin to strip us of pride and make us humble. This is the way that we talk about going through the wilderness. You know, your wilderness might be a sickness. You know, your wilderness might be a failed relationship. Your wilderness might be a failed business. Your wilderness might be a rebellious child. You know, God allows those things to enter our experience so as to strip us of pride, because we see our inadequacy, our insufficiency in the midst of those challenges. And then we begin to see the need to rely upon the sufficiency that God only provides. Moses reminded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8 of the same truth. Moses reminded them, beginning at verse 2, he said, "You shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandment or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, neither did your father know, that it may make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. So what we see in what Moses is saying is that God took them through the wilderness as a process of humbling them. And my brothers and sisters, I tender to you this morning, one of the reasons God will allow us to go through some experiences in this life, to go through some challenges in this life, is because God wants to humble us. And in humbling us, God will now then be able to use us for his glory. The second reason is this, loved ones. I believe God allows us to go through that metaphoric wilderness in order to perfect his strength in us. You know, God wants to perfect his strength in each one of us. You know, God wants to reveal his glory to the world through each one of our lives as Christians. But, you know, God cannot perfect his strength in our strength. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I just said. You know, God cannot perfect his strength in our strength, but he can only perfect his strength in our weakness. And how does God go about doing this? He does this by taking us through that metaphoric wilderness. It takes us through that experience, takes us through experiences and challenges that will weaken us so that in our weakness, his power can be perfected. And we see this in the story of the Apostle Paul sharing his testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to pay attention beginning around the fourth verse. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up in the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man I will boast, but not on my behalf I will not boast, except in regards to my weakness. Then he goes further, he says to her, he said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, it was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that he may remove it from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Again, I want you to pay attention to what Paul is saying right there. Paul is saying to us, listen, there is a thorn in my flesh that God enabled me, gave me this supernatural revelation. I was translated to the throne of God. I heard inexpressible words. And in order to keep me from being conceited, in order to keep me from being prideful, God has to put a thorn in my flesh. And God is now revealing, even in Paul's prayer, God said, no, I'm not going to take this away from you. And people have speculated that the thorn in Paul's flesh was probably his eyesight. Some say, well, he was a very sickly man. We really don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. But the implication is simple, that God said to Paul, listen, power is perfected in weakness. In other words, for God's great power to be seen, Paul has to be weakened. And I truly believe at times in our walk of faith, God wants to reveal his power, his glory within our lives. But to reveal it in our life, he has to reveal it in our weakness. Because if he reveals it in our strength, we will boast. We will boast that I am the one that did this. And God has to reveal his glory and his strength in our weakness. And to do that, God has to take us through that metaphoric wilderness. God has to take us through experiences that tend to weaken us, experiences that we can do nothing about, experiences that makes us weak. And in that weakness, God now shows his power, that when people now see what you're doing. And I truly believe the greatest ministries that was ever established was established in weakness. The greatest ministry that started was exactly because those that started it didn't have nothing but God, so that the world could see that it's all through the grace and the power of our great God. So my brothers and sisters, this morning, God will take us through those that metaphoric wilderness in order to weaken us and to make us weak so that his strength can be perfected in each one of us. And here's the third thing, loved ones. I believe that God will take us through that metaphoric wilderness in order to order our steps in the path of righteousness. Again, God wants to lead each one of us in the path of righteousness. Yes, let me make this clear. Yes, in Christ Jesus, I know that all of us are positionally righteous. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's true. But you got to understand that practically, none of us are there yet. You know, for us, again, I want you to understand this. Sin, not righteousness, is in aid to us. In other words, we gravitate towards sin, even in our spiritual godly state. We still struggle with sin. Righteousness does not come easy to us. We got to strive to be righteous. We got to press. We got to progressively seek to be righteous. But God, who loves us much, who wants us to walk in righteousness, God will take us through this metaphoric wilderness. Will take us through experiences, will take us through things that will cause us to begin to pray more, that will cause us to begin to draw near to more, that will cause there to begin to cause us to begin to seek after God's kingdom more. And the writer of Hebrews will put it very well in the writer of Hebrews. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Begin around chapter 4 of Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12, begin at verse 5. God will say here through the writer of Hebrews, he said, "And you have not forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not take lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when he reproves you. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. And what son is there whom the father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all of us have become partakers," watch that, "of which all of us have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seems fit to them. But he, God, disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems to not be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet for those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." So you see what the writer of Hebrews is getting to this morning. He's saying to us, listen to me, loved ones. He's saying, listen, God disciplines those whom we love, of which all of us are partakers. All of us metaphorically will go through that wilderness. All of us will go through that wilderness, and God will use those experiences to discipline us. But the goal of his discipline is that we can partake in his righteousness, but most importantly, that we can be more like Jesus. So if you today are going through your metaphoric wilderness, if you're going through your challenges, your struggle in marriage, struggle with your child, struggle with your job, struggle with your health, I want you to understand that God is in it. God is using those experiences in your life to mold you and to shape you, but most importantly, to help you to walk in the path of righteousness. God's goal for each one of us is to walk in righteousness. God's goal for each one of us is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus, is to meet that position that we are in heavenly places, that we are positionally righteous. God wants us to be practically righteous. So, loved ones, this morning, I'm here to tender to you that this metaphoric wilderness, every one of us as believers will go through. There ain't no option here. We will go through the discipline of God. But then the question we need to ask this morning is this: how then do we respond? You know, it's one thing to go through that metaphoric wilderness, right? But then how do you respond? You know, how do you respond in the experience of sickness, and in the experience of hunger, in the experience of heartbreak, in the experience that you feel lonely and you feel rejected, in the experience that everything around you seems to be collapsing, in the experience that children are rebelling, the experience that financially you're struggling, you are almost at the precipice of financial disaster, and you've been praying, and how do you respond when God's permissive will allows that into your life, into my life? This is what I think we need to do, loved ones. Two ways here we need to respond. The first thing is this: we need to remain thankful. Watch what I just said. Remain thankful. You know, while this might seem oxymoronic, the reason it seems oxymoronic is because the wilderness is not always a place of pleasure. The wilderness is not always pleasant, right? The wilderness is a place of struggle. It's a place of dissolution. It's a place where we feel down and we feel rejected and we feel forsaken. It's a place that everything seems to be collapsing all around us. And yet, we should respond with thanksgiving. Pastor Wally, how can you say that? Well, I can say that because of two reasons. First of all, because It is God's will for us in Christ Jesus to rejoice in everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says to us, in everything, give thanks. Again, I want you to pay attention to that word. In everything, not in something, not when your bills are paid, not when your body is well, not when everything works well, and not all those things, but the Bible said, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will. God's revealed will for us in Christ Jesus. That is the first reason why in this metaphoric wilderness we give thanks. The second reason is this, is because God is causing all things to walk together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Listen to me. God is causing all things. God is putting all things together that whatever you're going through this morning, God is moving and orchestrating the events of life and orchestrating situations so that ultimately what you're going through will work together for your good, that God will see to it that you are blessed even in the midst of what you're going through, that when you pass through that wilderness, you will enter the promised land, that when you pass through that metaphoric wilderness, God will meet you with mercy, God will meet you with grace, that God will have perfected you in the area that he desired to perfect you, God will have worked in your life. God will have put things together. And so many people discover that, you know what, it is through this adversity, it is through the storms that led me to this place. And they never thought about the place before then, but God led them to the place of abundance, even through the issue of suffering. And my brothers and sisters, I tender to you, the reason we remain thankful, not only because it's the will of God, is because God is using all these things in our experience. He's using all this discipline, he's using on it to perfect us and to bring us to a place of abundance. And I tender to you this morning that is the place of abundance awaiting you. But before you get to that place of abundance, you have to go through this metaphoric wilderness. You have to go through this place of destitution, this place that feels lonely, this place that you feel rejected. But it's through those places that God molds you and shapes you. So when you come to the place of abundance, you will realize that this was what God was doing all along. And I never knew it. Give thanks. The second thing is this. We must remain steadfast. Again, the second response is to remain steadfast. And I tended to you this morning, loved ones. At times it's easier said than done, isn't it? That, you know what, Pastor Wally, you are not in my shoes, right? You don't know what I'm going through now, right? Do you? No, I don't. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how you feel now. I don't know the experiences you're going through. Your experiences might be colossal. You might have experienced all kinds of evil and all kinds of things that has happened in your experience. And it's so easy during those seasons to always say, God, where are you? It's so easy during those seasons to always say, God, have you forsaken me? Have you hidden your face from me? But this morning, loved ones, I want tender to you. God is in the same place it was when everything was good. And now when you're struggling, it's still in the same place. God has never left. God has never forsaken us. God will never forsake his own. God has enstrapped us in the palm of his hand. God will see us through every valley. God will see us through every wilderness. And what we need to do in the midst of our wilderness, that though we don't see God, though we don't see his hand, we got to trust his heart. We got to trust that God has said to us in his word that I'm with you always, says the Lord Jesus, even until the end of time. Paul reminded us that if God be for us, who can be against us. At times you got to trust that, you got to trust God in his promise. You got to trust that the promise of God is yes and amen. That God who said I will be with you will be with you. God who said I will sustain you will sustain you. God who said I'll protect you will protect you. In the midst of your metaphoric wilderness, you got to be able to stand steadfast. You got to be able to be unmovable. You got to be like Abraham, who hoped against hope, who believed that God is who said he was, that God would do wonders, God would do great things. And that is the way we respond in the midst of a metaphoric wilderness. And we ought to understand this morning that God wants us to know that this wilderness will come. And for the Christian, you are either in the wilderness or you're about to go into a wilderness. But whatever the wilderness is, understand this. God is using that wilderness to mold you and to shape you into the image of his Holy Son. May God give us the grace that we can embrace our wilderness. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, we do honor thee and thank thee for the mercy that thou hast lavished upon us in Christ Jesus. Holy Father, we now pray that thou wilt bless the declaration of thy word. And Lord, thou wilt comfort those who grieve. Thou wilt strengthen those who are feeble. And thou wilt build up those who are weak. Holy Father, into thy hands I commit this time of teaching. In Jesus' name I pray.